seated. Welcome. Thank you to Susan and to Gabriella for leading us in our introductions and worship this evening. It's great to see you all. Welcome back to Women to Women. We had a wee cheeky week off last week, and we hope you had a nice week off too. I cannot believe that I'm about to say this, but we are on the final series of 2023. Boy, this year has flown by so quickly. I know there are some new faces in this evening, and we welcome you in Jesus' name. It's wonderful to have you at Women to Women tonight. We hope that you've already received a lovely warm welcome as you come in. So for the new ladies this evening, we at Women to Women have been coming together for 17 years. 17 years, as long as our worship leader has been on this earth, Gabriella. 17 years. And we are here, as Susan says, we exist to help women of all ages, as you've already seen, little women to women, to nurture, or to develop and to nurture a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. And we do that in many ways. One way is through the gospel, through the Holy Bible, through reading the Bible, through coming together each week on a Tuesday or a Thursday or on a Friday. You are our Thursday group. If you come along tomorrow morning, it's a completely different group apart from the leaders. But we are here to help each other to develop and nurture that relationship with the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, He who lives in us. And as a ministry, we are a people of vision. Everyone say vision. Vision. And I'm going to ask you, here's some homework. Uh-oh. Your homework this week is to pray for Women to Women for 2024. I asked you to do this last year, and you were really good, and you all prayed, and the Lord deposited the vision for 2023 before the Christmas break, which gave me an opportunity to get everything organized before I sat down and ate my turkey. So I'm asking you again to pray into that, and that the Lord would speak to us as a ministry for the vision for 2024. He already knows. We started this year off, I believe, in the right lane. And if you've been with us all year, you will know exactly what that means. We began the year with a fantastic worship weekend, and many of you were at the Westerwood in February. And as Susan has already shared this evening, we are already enthusiastic and excited about what God is going to do in and through the Fertile Ground Worship Weekend. And if you haven't signed up, please come and see Susan at the end, because we are going to shut the booking on that. So that was a great weekend away. But then we come back from the weekend away and we started with our vision weeks, which means we got together as a ministry and we listened to what the Lord had deposited into our hearts for 2023. So there were quite a few things, actually, that tied together that God was revealing to us this year as a ministry. So let's just refresh our memories for the last time of 2023. You will see on the screen the vision picture. That's the one with the stadium. Thank you very much, Michelle. And I'm going to read to you the scripture, and then we'll remind ourselves of what that picture actually means. So our vision motto text for this year comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let me read it to you now. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How do we do that? Well, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Everyone say faith. Faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Amen. So we were very much being prompted, by God at the beginning of this year to run a race. Don't worry if you're not a runner. Don't worry if you don't like going to the gym. Because when I asked away back in January, in February this year, to put your hands up if you're a runner, we had about two hands in the air. So don't worry if you're not a runner. Because the race in which we've been looking at, or the race in which we're running, is the race of faith. And throughout the year, we've talked a great deal about how to run our race and how to run our race well. We read in the verse there that one way that we can run our race well is to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer of our faith. Acknowledging that at times as we run, there will be those days. I wonder if you've had one of those days today. I wonder if you've had one of those weeks this week, one of those days, one of those weeks where the weather conditions for the run is just poor. One of those days or one of those weeks where you just stumble and you trip and you fall. How many of you have fallen? I know I have, several times in my 40 plus years. But the aim as a Christ believer, as a follower of Jesus, running our race of faith, the aim is when we fall down, because we will fall at times, is not to stay down, but to get, thank you, Michelle, to get back up again. Someone's been listening. And not only will we fix our eyes on Jesus and the finishing line, yeah, there is a finishing line, there is an end in sight, eternity, but we are also aware there is so much joy in the race. Yes, it can be hard at times. Yes, there's some painful laps. I know I've had a few. I've certainly had a few recently. But there is joy even in the painful laps. There is joy when you run your race of faith, when you run it with Jesus, even when there is suffering. Now, the picture is interesting because God is so good to us at Women to Women, because not only did he give us a motto vision, a motto text, he gave us a motto picture. This is why I encourage you, ladies, when you're in your private devotional time, when you're leaning into God in prayer, that you do press in and you ask him questions and you ask him to reveal things to you, because he's so creative. He is the creator of the world. And he gave me this picture of a stadium, and you see it there on the screen. And we see a whole host of people in the stadium. Now, you may look at that and you may think there's a whole host of spectators there. We're going to come back to that because they're not so much spectators. We know that. But on the pitch there, or on the field there, there is a whole crowd of cheerleaders. You see, not only are we running a race of faith, but we're also running alongside our fellow runners. You see, God's called you to run your race of faith. But he's also called your sister to run her race of faith too, and your brother to run his race. And sometimes when we run our race, if you're competitive, you might try to get a bit elbowy. But God's not created us to be like the world. He's created us to be out with this world, to be here, but to be out of the world. So we're not going to be there to be competitive, to trip each other up, to elbow each other as we run. We're going to celebrate our sisters and our brothers run in their race. And when we see their achievements, when we see God blessing them, we're going to give them a big high five and we're going to praise the Lord and say, thank you, God, for blessing my sister. We're going to be women who cheer other women on and not get caught up in comparison. And we've heard throughout this whole year and the different sessions this theme of being this different kind of woman. Did you catch it? You're not like the women out there in the world. You're different. Now, maybe your whole life you felt awkward and you felt a bit strange or a bit odd because you've always felt a bit different. Well, let me tell you something. Embrace that difference, because you have been set apart by God. You are special. You are unique. You are different. You're meant to be different. In fact, if you look and sound the same as all the women out there, then you're actually not doing it right. You're not running properly. We're created to be different, to sound different, to act different, which is why we are cheerleaders, which is why we're encouragers, which is why we are women of influence who are ready to hand over the baton to the next generation, whether that's be women that are younger in the faith or women that are younger in age, which is why we have each month our little Women to Women branch meeting together. So as we are running, we need to be aware that we have fellow runners and we want to be the kind of women that encourage others, women of influence. What else has God been speaking to us from the text? Well, of course, there's our fellow runners, but there is also this crowd. Now, I said that we look at that picture and we think, spectators. But as we've heard throughout the year, they're not spectators because in the passage it says there's a great cloud of witnesses. You see, spectators can sit at home with a big bag of family Doritos and some salsa and they can comment on a football game when the person's never actually played football in their life. That's a spectator. A witness is different. They have run the race. And those that have run the race, that cloud, which just means crowd, that crowd of witnesses that surround us, that are cheering us on, are the men and women of faith that have already ran their faith, race of faith, and they have gone on to glory. And there is so much that we can learn, not just about them in the scriptures, but about God. And also about ourselves in and through their lives. And in this series, or in this whole year, we've been looking at the fact that they are the heroes of the faith. And some of them, not all of them, but some of them are actually detailed a chapter back in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, as it's commonly known. Now, I know that I'm sharing much of what we've already studied this year, but it's so important that as we begin this brand new series, that we remind ourselves of where we have come from this year. And all of this year, we've studied the heroes and the heroines of the Christian faith. And we've looked at how they did it. We've looked at their life of faith. We've looked at their run. We've looked at their race. And we have looked at so much at how they not always got it right. There were times where they fell. Sometimes they fell badly. But in every single story that we have listened to this year, we have seen the hand of God. We have seen the faithful, loving hand of God. And as we have studied Abraham, Esther, who else? Shout them out. David, Deborah, who loved that series? We had Abigail, we had Rahab, we had Mary, the mother of Jesus. We've looked at Moses, we've looked at Joshua and Joseph. Wow, what a year. Did we do all of that? That is mighty. And we have looked at all of these amazing men and women of faith. Now, I wonder, as we've journeyed through the different characters in the scriptures, I wonder, was there moments where you thought, I want to be like that. I want to be like Deborah. I want to be a woman of influence. I want to be like David, the little shepherd boy that stood strong in the face of the 9-foot giant. I want to be like Abraham, who was prepared to wait and wait and wait for God's promise to come through. Was that you? Was there a silent prayer under your breath where you thought, I want to have that courage? I want to have that faith. Well, ladies, the Lord delights in that kind of prayer because the Lord wants you to have that kind of faith. He wants you to have that big, bold faith that we have seen all year in and through our heroes and heroines of the faith. So are you prepared to run your race, a life of faith? Well, in this last series, what we're going to be looking at is our faith. We've looked at the faith of the men and women of God and in the Hall of Faith and elsewhere in Scripture. But now in the next 6 weeks, we're going to turn it around and we're going to look at our faith. So in this six-week series, we're going to look at how to grow your faith. Does that excite you? I hope it does. Now let me just say, there's going to be a lot that you're going to hear in the next 6 weeks that you already know. especially if you've been journeying with the Lord, if you've been running your race for a long time. A lot of this will be familiar to you. But I believe as we reach the end of the year, I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying this is where we need to be. And we need to be reminded of some of these promises and truths and ways in which we can grow our faith. I've also said that if you have a friend who's new to the Christian faith or exploring or asking you questions, then this is a perfect one to invite them along to. And if you can't quite get them along yet, then why not share the audio link and they can listen in their own time. So let's start off tonight looking at what faith is. What is faith? Well, the opening lines of Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith, it opens up with this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and it is assurance about what we do not see. It's a confidence. It's a hope in that which you cannot see. You see, just as our physical eyesight is the sense that gives us the evidence of what's going on around us and the world that is around us, you can see it, can't you? But faith is the sense that gives the evidence of the invisible. What are we talking about? We're talking about the spiritual world around us. Yes, ladies, and I hope this excites you, God gives us eyes to see, not just in the natural, but in the supernatural. Does that excite you? It excites me. And if you have evidence before you, or if you can see it, then there is no need for faith, is there? Because you can see it. I can see Carol tonight. She's as beautiful as she always is. I can see that. I don't need faith to believe it. I can see her with my own eyes. Faith is different. It is what is needed when we cannot see and when we cannot touch. So, that is commonly known as our saving faith when you give your life to Christ. So in that moment, think back, if you're here and you're a Christ follower, and at some point in your life, you gave your life to Jesus. Put your hand up if you've done that. Okay. Those that didn't put your hand up, come to the cross at the end, and we can help you to do that. So, remember that moment. Think about it. Capture it in your imagination right now. Think about that moment, Angela, when you said yes to Jesus. I want you in my life. You'll have prayed a prayer like that, or you'll have been with someone that helped you pray a prayer like that, or someone was preaching a sermon and there was an altar call and you get out your seat. Various different stories there will be. But that was the moment that you gave your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, in that moment, you knew God was real. Yes? Okay, you can say amen. You're quiet tonight. In that moment, you knew God was real. In that moment, you believed in Jesus Christ. You believed that God sent his precious son, Jesus. And not only did you believe in God and believe in Jesus, but you believed what God did for you through his son, Jesus. That you believed in that moment that Jesus died for your sin to set you free. Amen. Come on, ladies. Amen. I know it's late. Amen. Well, in that moment, you believed, but you couldn't see him. And you couldn't touch him, but you believed in that moment of salvation that to be true. Ladies, that's faith. That is faith. And if you are here tonight, and you have never given your life to Jesus, but you are hearing tonight that God so loved you, that he gave his only son to die for your sin to set you free, then we can help you this evening to begin a brand new relationship with Jesus. This is faith. Faith is not a bare belief. It's not intellectual understanding. It is a willingness to trust, to rely, to cling on to God, to cling on to Jesus, even when you do not see, but you believe. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Did you hear that? Without it, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because anyone who comes to him must believe You must have faith in him. You must believe that he exists. And he goes on to say, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen. This is basic faith. This is the basic faith required of anyone who seeks God. One must believe that he is who he says he is. One must believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe it? I'm trying here. We must believe that God is there and that he will reveal himself to the seeking heart. Ladies, that's faith. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 goes on to share, as we've said already, some of the names of some of those witnesses that had this kind of faith. And throughout this year, we have said many, many times that we want to be a woman of faith. And let me tell you the truth, God wants you to have that kind of faith. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes through hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And many of you are here tonight and you raised your hands there because at some point in your life, you heard the words. You heard the truth. And in that moment, you believed. You heard it from the pastor. You heard it from the pulpit. You heard it from your parents. You heard it from the Sunday school teacher. You heard it in the word of God. And you are here tonight because you heard and you believed. And in this series of growing our faith, we're going to look at the Word. We're going to look at the Word of God to guide us in helping us to grow big faith. Okay, so we've looked briefly at what faith is. Well, as we near the end of the year, well, as I've said, we're going to look at how to grow it. Does that excite you? That you can grow your faith? So if you are here tonight and you feel it's just a teeny, teeny, teeny wee mustard seed, the good news is you can grow it. And I think that might tie in to our Women to Women Worship Weekend next year. We want to have unshakable faith, like these men and women that we've heard about all year. We want to run our race with perseverance, with confidence, with endurance, with big, bold faith. Well, in this last series, we're going to look at five things. Five things that God uses to grow big faith. Now, I said at the beginning, we have been together for 17 years. I know I don't look that old. We have been together for 17 years. And every now and again, we will revisit a study that we have already looked at. And this is one of them. And quite a few years, and I'm going back quite a few years ago, we actually looked at these five things that grow our faith. They are loosely, and I say very loosely, loosely connected to a book by Andy Stanley. You might not know Andy Stanley, but you may have maybe heard of his father, who sadly passed away, Charles Stanley. And Andy Stanley put together a series on how to grow your faith. And in this series, there are five ways to grow your faith. Now, we are looking at not just growing our faith, we want to grow big faith here at Women to Women. Now, the ways to grow your faith are all detailed in the Bible. Of course they are. But you don't open the Bible at Genesis or Deuteronomy and the five are sitting there listed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's all throughout the Bible. But let me tell you about Andy Stanley when he wrote this book. The five things that are contained in the book to help grow your faith are the five things that came up time and time again when he was speaking to members of his congregation. Okay? So there are more ways. There's more than five, but we've only got 6 weeks, so we're only going to look at five. And somebody's doing the maths right now and going, that doesn't work out right. Don't worry, it'll all come together in the end. So, the teachings here will not be exactly like the book. If you want to buy the book, read the book, go ahead and do that. It'll be loosely based on the book, but we're going to look at five ways to grow our faith. So we start with the first one, even though we're running out of time. There we go. So the first aspect of growing our faith is that we're going to look at growing our faith through practical teaching. Yes, ladies, going back to basics, we love to learn, do we not? I love to learn. I love being a student. People learn in so many different ways. I am old school. I like to sit in a classroom. I like to see the teacher in person and not through a screen. I like to listen to the teacher. You might be different. You might be quite happy to do learning experiences in a different way. But me, I'm quite old-fashioned. And before I became a pastor, I spent a few years working for the University of the West of Scotland as a tutor and lecturer, along with Susan and Mary. And we would go into classes and we would teach students, and I loved it. And the girls loved it too. Because there's that moment, and we've got some teachers in the house this evening. It's that moment, Fiona, when you teach something, yes, and it's like, bing, their eyes are opened. Or there's a light bulb moment where they just get it. Or you read someone's essay or someone's report that you have to mark, and you've got 50 of them to mark, and you're getting to 11 o'clock at night, and they're all the same. And then you get this one, and you just go, yes, she got it. Yes, he got it. And it's just a wonderful moment. And I loved being able to teach students new things. And you know what? God uses every experience of your life, because one of the greatest joys of my life is standing here on a Thursday night or on a Friday morning or on a Tuesday at Heart Hill and teaching the scriptures. He uses every bit of your life. I love being a teacher. I love being a student. And we are going to look at how to grow our faith through being a student, through practical teaching. So we've already heard in Romans that faith comes through hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. So saving faith comes through hearing the word of God. So in order to grow our faith, we need to get our nose stuck in to the word of God. The word of God is what is going to help us to grow in our faith. It will strengthen us. It will spiritually challenge us, but it will equip us for the race. Now, you may be here tonight and you're thinking, what is this word of God? Maybe you're new to church. Maybe you're new to Bible study. And you're thinking, when they talk about the word of God, what do they mean? Is it the audible voice of God? Is it God going, hello? Is it me you're looking for? When we talk about the word of God, we're basically talking about the holy word of God. We're talking about the Bible. God speaks in many, many different ways. But when we talk about the word of God, we're talking about the living word of God. And it is the living word of God. It's not just black and white words on a page. It breathes. It sings. It speaks to us. It shows us things. It's the best movie you'll ever, ever watch. So let me share with you tonight what Scripture is for, because we want to grow our faith through practical teaching, through the Word of God. So what is Scripture for? Why did God give us it? Okay, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God, given by God. So he might have not written it. Man may have written it, but he inspired the word that man wrote. And it is given to us, look at this, it is useful to us to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. We all need that at times. It also corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us what to do that is right. Are you here tonight and you're in need of direction? Are you here tonight and you've got a decision that you need to make and you don't know what the right decision to make or the wrong decision is to make? I think maybe even there's somebody here tonight that is swithering with a job situation. Shall I stay or shall I go kind of thing? Is that you tonight? I think you need some prayer. Come to the cross at the end and the prayer ministry team will pray for you. The word of God will actually help you to make that decision. How good is that? It will help you to stay in your lane. It will keep you focused on Jesus. And I've shared many, many times this year that there will be days where you will stumble and you will fall. There will be days where the laps will be harder and longer than others. But what will keep us on the right path is when we apply, there's the key word for tonight, when we apply the Word of God to our lives. Ladies, I've shared so many stories at Women to Women over the years where I've encountered people that would say to me, I just don't get it. I just don't get this dusty old history book. I don't get what you're all saying, that it sings to you and it and it speaks to you. I don't get it. And we've prayed for these people over the years at Women to Women. And we've encouraged them to pray before they open it. There you go. There's something that you can do if you're struggling with it right now. I used to pray a prayer which was a line of a Psalm 119. Open my eyes to your wonderful truths. You can pray that before you even open it. And we've encouraged ladies over the years to do that. And then they had their Anne Suddenly moment. And then it no longer was a dusty old history book. And then it began to speak to them. And then they would pray something one day and open up the Bible the next day. And oh my goodness, it was the answer to the prayer that they prayed the day before. Hallelujah. So the Bible, the Word of God, it began to speak to them. Now for some, it was because they came along to a Bible study. And it was the Bible study that actually helped them to bring the Word of God alive. Maybe it was coming along to Women to Women. Maybe it was starting to go to church. Maybe it was a particular preacher that preached a way that just seemed to bring the Word of God alive. Or maybe it was because they'd been sitting, God forgive me, with the King James. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book, a wonderful translation. But perhaps they were struggling with that. And that's okay. It's okay to admit that. But somebody came along and gave them the NLT. Or somebody came along and gave them the NIV or the message even. I don't care what version you're reading. I don't care. I'm not a snob about it. If it speaks to you, if you can understand it, I would rather you read that translation than any other. So perhaps it was that. And then all of a sudden, it was more than just a book. All of a sudden, they realized that it was alive. And Jesus, well, he's passionate. He is so passionate about you understanding it. And not just understanding the Word of God, but applying it to your life. His entire teaching was applicable. He didn't just teach the truths. He actually revealed how to apply these truths to our life. You know, you can attend a church, and there's lots of churches represented at Women to Women. You don't all come to this church, but you can attend church every single week. You can go to every single prayer meeting every single week, and you may have the best attendance in that church. But are you applying the Word of God to your life? You see, if you want your life to be different, if you want to grow your faith, if you want to have that big, bold faith, then we not only need to listen and hear the Word of God, but we need to apply it. Won't you do that? Do that. That'll become clear at the end. We need to apply it to our lives. Not a prophetic dance, I promise. It will be revealed. So, Matthew chapter 7, the wise and foolish builders. Jesus shared a story. This is when he taught, and then he shared parables. And he spoke in parables to help us to understand the word. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, good, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and they beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, well, they are like a foolish man who built a house on sand. For when the rain came and the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Well-known story by Jesus here, and you might even know a song. And the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And I can't remember the rest. So here we have Jesus teaching the crowds on the mountainside, the Sermon on the Mount. I'm sure you know it well. And after he gave this incredible sermon, filled, packed with teaching, he then follows it with this parable, okay? So I'm sure you all know it, and I'm sure you learned it all in Sunday school. So Jesus shares this parable after giving this fantastic teaching. And there's a whole load of teaching truths in that sermon. If you really feel like you want some extra homework, as well as doing the prayer for the vision, you can go and you can read the Beatitudes. Verse 24 says, though, anyone who hears these words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, did you notice there that it didn't say the person that came along to church and listened? That's interesting. I wonder if that stood out to you as it did me. Or the man that simply just read the truths. No, it says that they heard the words and then he put it into practice. If you want to have big faith, then you need to apply the practical teachings to your life. You know, sometimes we open the Word of God first thing in the morning, right? I've got to get up, I've got to do the packed lunch, I've got to put the washing machine on, I've got to go and scrape the car because it was frosty. I'll do a quick open up the Bible app or whatever it is you do, and you have a quick read, and then you go down the stairs, you put the kettle on, and you've forgotten. You've forgotten what you just read. Now, there's ways to rectify that, and we can talk about that as we go, but God wants you not just to hear it, he wants you to digest it, and he wants you to put it into practice. You know, I was pondering what we were going to be looking at tonight, and God reminded me of something today. You know when he just drops something into your mind? Many, many years ago, when I was around the age of 20, I had some therapy. Yes, even pastors have therapy at times. And I had some therapy. And I remember my therapist, my counsellor, saying to me, how do you eat your food? So that's a bit of a strange question. And she talked about when we sit down at the table. And she says, so often when we're stressed or when we've experienced trauma, we don't really take time to savor and to enjoy. And she started to talk, and I thought it was very strange at the time, but I really think she was onto something. Because if I actually had applied what she'd spoke to me about, there might have not been a need for Gaviscon. Okay? For the purpose of the audio recording, that is a liquid that you use for indigestion. She says, take your time. She says, chew, and savor every moment, and then digest it. And I thought at the time, because we're only young, it's a bit odd. But then I thought about it in relation to this today. Isn't that interesting? And then I thought, do you know what? Sometimes we sit down and we just inhale our food. We're in a rush. We don't chew it. We don't digest it. And it sticks here. And we get complaints later on in the evening. But it's like the Word of God. You see, God wants you to take your time. He wants you to chew it and chew it. I know you all think I'm mad, but stay with me. He wants you, this is what I thought about today, driving to a wedding. Chew it and sit with it and digest it and savor it and enjoy it. Because let me tell you something, that will be better for you. Okay, just a very simple story there, but it's so true. Because so often we read the Word of God too quickly that we've forgotten about what we've read. We haven't enjoyed it. We haven't digested it. And how on earth are we going to apply it if we can't even remember it? So, you will see this kind of transformation in your life when you begin to apply the truths within the Word of God. You know, so many people I've met over the years that said, do you know what? I've started to read the Bible. I've got an app on my phone, or I've got a daily devotional, daily bread book, whatever way you want to read the Bible. It's entirely up to you. And I've started to read it. And I've started to read it. And I actually said somewhere in the Bible, can't remember what verse, but they said it says that I have to forgive my enemies. I have to pray for them and bless them. Is that right? Yeah. If it's in the Word of God, then it's true. And do you know what I did, Debbie? Well, I did it. I read that, and then I prayed about it, and then I went to the person, and then I said, I forgive you. They didn't just read it. They applied it, and it set them free. Or I was feeling anxious, and I was feeling stressed, and I read in Philippians to be anxious for nothing. And instead of just reading it and going, oh, that's nice, I actually began to apply this to my life. And it says there, be anxious for nothing but pray. So do you know what I did? I began to pray. And day by day, the anxiety began to go. Hallelujah. Do you see the difference when you go from being a hearer of the Word to actually applying it to your life? So what do we need to do? Well, as I've mentioned, as my role as a lecturer to these students, well, this is what we need to do. We need to get ourselves into a position as a student to learn. So yes, it's coming to church. It's coming to Women to Women. It's about attending Bible studies. It's about, look at this, taking notes, bringing your journals. It's about asking questions. Yes, you can ask God big questions as you read. And he will share with you his truths. And if the teacher or the pastor or the preacher, if they're any good at preaching and teaching, then they will help you to apply the Word of God. They will share things. They will say things. You'll hear them. They'll say things. Okay, we've heard these truths. How can we apply it? Or they'll say, right, we've come to the end. What is God speaking to us today? And that's your cue. That's your cue to go sit up and pay attention, because this is how I can apply this to my own life. Because we don't want to be like the foolish builders in verse 26. They hear the Word but don't put it into practice. No, we want to stand on a strong foundation, the rock which is Jesus, which is his Word. So ladies, coming to the end now, we want to be heroines of the faith. We desire that big faith. And one way to grow our faith is through practical teaching, through reading the Word of God and applying the Word of God to our life. So I want to give you some advice in reading the Word of God. I want to give you three questions that you can take away with you, right? So three questions that you can ask while you're reading the Word of God. Three simple ones. And the first one is this. After you've read, whether it's a portion or through your daily devotional, through an app or whatever, you can ask the question, what's going on? Simply, what's going on? And you might need to read a wee bit further. You might need to put into context, well, where was Jesus when he said this? Who was it he was speaking to when he said it? Sometimes that makes all the difference, because it gives you an understanding of what's taking place. You might need to read some commentaries. You can Google that. You can go and do further study. What is going on in the passage? You might need to read the chapter before it, or the little bit passage before it, or the little bit after it to put it into context. But let me tell you something. Just spending that little bit of extra time will help you to put it into context and will help you to digest the text. The second question you can ask is, what does this mean to me? You see, these people lived thousands of years ago. You know, they were farmers. I'm not a farmer. You know, they were always talking about sheep and goats and fields, and I live in the city. But how does this impact my life? For God so loved the world. Just take John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Okay, let's break this down. What does that mean to me? Well, I'm part of this world. In fact, I'm out of this world. You are out of this world. So God so loved the world. That's me. So personalize it. For God so loved Madeline. For God so loved Jane that he gave. He gave, which means he's a loving giver. He's a gift giver. What did he give? Well, he gave his son. God gave his most precious gift, his son, and it was to me. Because why? Well, it tells us because he loves me. So we've personalized it. So we ask the question, what does it mean to me? Put yourself in the story. Put yourself in the answer to the question. It will help you to personalize it for your life. Number three, and it fits with our topic this evening. What am I going to do about it? The Bible teaches us to forgive. What are you going to do about it? If the Bible teaches you to be a good steward, what are you going to do about it? If it teaches you to be patient, what are you going to do about it? What can I do about this, God? How can I change my ways, my attitudes, my mindset, so that I can be more like you and so that I can grow this big faith? I'm going to give you a quote from Andy Stanley. Now, this is in the book. Stanley says this, unapplied truth is like paint. It doesn't do anybody any good until it is applied. There we go. So the first step with that paint tin is you got to open it up. Because it's not going to do anything sitting in the tin. Got to open up the Bible. And then to have the full effect of it, we've got to apply it. And sometimes it might need a few coats. So you might need to apply it a few times. Trial and error. You might need to read it a few times. But begin to apply it. So as we finish up tonight, God wants to grow our faith. If you are new to faith, this is a great place to start. Through practical teaching. In this six-week series we've started this evening, we're going to look at five ways. We've looked at practical teaching tonight. Five ways to grow your faith. Tonight, we begin with the most important aspect of reading the Bible, and that is not only hearing it, but applying it to our lives. So let's start to apply these truths, and let these truths begin to build our faith. Would you stand with me now as we close in prayer? Father God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your living word, which is truth. We thank you, Lord, it is a sat-nav through this life. And we would be lost, Lord, without you and without it. Lord, we want to be that builder that builds our house on a sure foundation so that we won't fall. So that when the storms of life come, Lord God, yes, we may be battered around a bit, but we will not be crushed. So Father God, we're asking you now to strengthen and grow our faith. Help us, Lord. Help us to enjoy, to taste and see that you are good, that your word is good. Help us, Lord, to savor every morsel, Father God. Help us not only just to read it, but to digest it, Father God. And show us ways, Father God. Show us ways in which we can develop our faith in you. And Lord, we look forward to seeing the transformation that will take place, not only in our lives, but in our lives of the cheerleaders around us. And this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. And the first session of our new series,